Yes, thank you. So just a few thoughts before we disperse into our breakout sessions. The first objective, as I mentioned, and what we'll be covering in the breakout sessions is the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. And this is covered in agenda paper 3. But I wanted to highlight just a couple of things. And to do that, again, I'm going to share my slides. One second here. Okay. So as I mentioned, the focus of the agenda consultation is the current scope of the board's work. And what we've tried to do on this slide is categorize the work that the board does. And as you can see, the board does far more than the bread and butter of research and standard setting. So setting the new IFRS standards as most people are familiar with. And the question that we have for you in the breakout sessions is for each of these 6 activities, whether you would recommend that the board increase, leave unchanged, or decrease its focus on each of those activities. And if you are recommending an increase or decrease, do you have specific recommendations about the types of work that we should change? And then to help you answer that question, agenda paper 3 provides you with some additional information. One is the estimated level of focus today on each of these 6 activities, as you can see on the slide here. The agenda paper also provides a description of these main activities, as well as some examples of what more we could do if you recommended that we increase our focus on any of these areas. And then just to highlight a few other things for purposes of your discussion, with respect to that top left pie slice on IFRS standards and amendments to IFRS standards, this afternoon we'll be talking more about the financial reporting issues that you think we should prioritize and add to the work plan for 2022 to 2026. And in agenda paper 5, where we cover that topic, as I mentioned, we say we estimate capacity to add 2 to 3 large projects, or 4 to 5 medium-sized projects, or 8 to 10 smaller projects. Now, those statistics are based off the assumption that this particular pie slice in the top left corner stays at about 40 to 45% of the board's capacity. If you want us to take on more projects, then that would need to increase, and as a consequence, something else would need to decrease. Moving to the top right-hand side, maintenance and consistent application, these activities are what you're all very familiar with. So monitoring consistent application of the standards, narrow scope amendments, interpretation committee agenda decisions, and educational materials to support consistent application. On the topic of educational materials, many of you might be aware, but as I mentioned, it is subject to due process. And so we are not able to set requirements through educational materials. That requires standard setting. And the reason that I mentioned that is that every so often we hear calls for us to do something similar to what the Big Four firms do with their IFRS books, their big books, their big guidance. But that's something that we don't do. That's something that we just have a different role for it. The other thing to mention about educational materials is that in recent history, our focus has been on supporting the implementation of the new standards, so IFRS 9, 15, 16, and 17, as well as supporting sort of market disrupting events such as COVID-19. We've published quite a bit of educational materials for that as well. What this pie slice could include is shifting our focus into capacity building. So helping emerging economies better understand IFRS standards to improve consistent application, as well as doing that for new adopters. And the reason I mentioned that is that I periodically hear that, particularly in the Advisory Council Forum, that this is an area where you'd like us to see, like us to do more work. And that this is the place that you would want to flag that in your discussions in the breakout session. Bottom right, IFRS for SME standards is relatively straightforward. It's the maintenance of the IFRS for SME standard and the educational materials that go with it. It's a lot of work and it requires specialized expertise. So don't let my brevity suggest that it's a simple thing. Moving on to digital financial reporting. Now, this one's a little trickier to explain because it's still early days and it could involve so many more things. So I'm going to try to give you a little bit of background, but happy to take questions if you have any. As Hans was describing in his reflections, over the past two decades, the world has seen significant progress in moving towards a single set of high quality, global, comparable financial reporting. But we have that on paper. What we're questioning now is whether what we have on paper can and should better extend into the digital world. And so at a minimum, what we have on paper could be available in a digital world, just allowing for more efficiencies in the capital markets. Going one step further, one could argue that there's a potential that with digital financial reporting, we could do even more for the capital markets. So this could be things like providing additional disaggregation, having free centralized access for listed company financial reports. It could go on to be much bigger than where we are today in the paper world. And the challenge for the ISB is that a full move towards a digital financial reporting ideal requires multiple participants in the financial system to contribute towards this. So historically, our focus has been on that which we control, meaning the IFRS taxonomy. And that taxonomy, as many of you may be aware, is a mechanism that provides tags so that companies can apply that to their financial information and allow their financial information to be machine readable. So we could keep that historical level of focus. We could do even more with that. So for example, we could further build out the IFRS taxonomy to further support investors. We could think about our IFRS standards and move them from how we develop them right now in a digital neutral format to a digital first format. Or we could go even one step further and do things that are beyond our control. But influence those that are outside of that which we have immediate control over. And the question is really whether it's worth making that investment. So if you think about where we were with IFRS standards 20 odd years ago, today we have 144 countries that require the use of IFRS standards. Do we need to do something similar where we have that sort of influence, advocacy, and push to get that sort of adoption of the IFRS taxonomy? And again, to get what we've seen on paper realized in a digital world. The last thing I'll just say on digital financial reporting is that we've talked about this in 2017, 18, and 19, and we've had a number of external speakers and a panel of investors and data aggregators join us. You might recall that from previous sessions. And to remind you of the main takeaways, what we had discussed at those meetings is that the IFRS taxonomy continues to be relevant. It is important for us to retain the IFRS taxonomy for branding purposes. And there was a view that the IFRS Foundation should work in partnership with others. So just some food for thought as you go into your breakout sessions. If this is an area to expand, there's a lot that could be done, but there's also some challenges that would go with it. And then finally, moving into the inner circle, these two items are cross-cutting activities that cut across all of the other activities, which is why the circles are in the middle. With respect to stakeholder engagement, I think that's pretty straightforward. It's about all the work that we do to engage with our stakeholders to obtain views on the standards and the proposals that the board is creating to make sure that they are in fact high quality and relevant to stakeholder needs, as well as the work that we do to promote acceptance of the standards. The one that might be a little bit lesser known is the light gray circle on understandability and accessibility. This work is a little bit more behind the scenes, so I just wanted to spend a minute or so explaining more about it. this work is about helping the users of the standards. So that would be preparers, auditors, regulators, and national standard setters better understand the standards so that they can provide high quality information to the users of financial reporting, so the investors. And the work that we do on understandability today is focused on reducing unnecessary technical complexity and cost for companies while improving the quality of information provided to investors, as well as working to try to draft clear standards. And we do this through the involvement of our editorial function, our translation teams, as well as external reviewers. What we could do to further improve the understandability of our standards is, and this is just one example, there could be many more things, but we could go through and brainstorm a comprehensive, holistic picture of all of the causes for complexity, and then come up with ways to amend existing requirements to address those issues. We could also develop more drafting guidance so that we could ensure that the standards are drafted clearly, that we use consistent terminology, and that they're well-structured. And then moving on to accessibility, this is about helping our stakeholders find the right literature to apply to a particular fact pattern. And today we do that by publishing our annotated IFRS standards, which is the IFRS standards with cross-references to other materials, as well as publishing semi-annual compilations of the interpretations agenda decisions. And you might recall from last month, we've recently improved our website to help improve the navigability of the electronic version of the standard. But other things that we could do to help our stakeholders could be more along the lines of using technology and providing tools so that the standards, or so that stakeholders can help navigate through the standards. So this could be things like flow charts. It could be things like tailoring tools that help you say, well, I just have a simple plain vanilla transaction. Take me exactly to the paragraphs that I need to go to so I don't have to go through and sort through multiple standards to find the appropriate literature. So that's just a high-level overview of the six activities. I will pause there to see if anyone has any questions. Otherwise, we can move to the breakout sessions and cover the questions that are on slide 30 of the agenda paper.
Great. Thank you, Neely. Well done. Before we move to the breakout sessions, any final questions for Neely? I thought that was well explained, Neely. Thank you for your clarity. Okay, let's do this. You've all received emails from Stephanie Taylor of staff. I presume you know which breakout session you are in. Marie is chairing group one. David, group two. Javier is chairing group three, and Saskia is chairing group four. Thank you in advance to each of you for agreeing to chair the breakout sessions. So if you recall from our last meeting a month ago, at this point you can disconnect. You have a link to your breakout room, and then we will, so this is a 45-minute breakout session, and I ask the chairs to, you could end your breakout session on the hour, so it's in 45 minutes from now. At that point, we'll take a 15-minute break, and then we will resume as a plenary in exactly 1 hour from now, at quarter past the hour. All right, thank you all. I will see you in the breakout rooms, and then we'll resume as a plenary in about 1 hour. Thanks again, Neely. See you shortly.